Today I want to talk a little bit about the concept of meditation. How many of you here today have a regular practice of meditation? Good show of hands there, that's good. Okay. So a modern definition of meditation would be to think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time in silence or with the aid of chanting for religious or spiritual purposes or as a method of relaxation. It reads here, for example, transcendental meditation. More examples would be, synonyms would be to contemplate, think, consider, ponder, muse, reflect. So what if I asked all of you to, you know, turn the lights down low, hop into a yoga pose, and start chanting? Would anybody be game for that? Brent's laughing because obviously he would not be. That's what more of Eastern religion. I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about the biblical definition of meditation. In case anybody did notice, that was an attempt at a joke. It's okay to laugh. Like, everybody's sitting pretty far out there. So, meditation, from a biblical perspective, is a combination of reviewing, reflecting, analyzing, feeling, and even enjoying the process. It's a physical, intellectual, spiritual, and emotional activity that involves our whole being. Now, in some ways, meditation doesn't easily fit into our Western culture. We value action and busyness more than pausing to reflect on why we were born or the meaning of life. Now, King David, he was from another time and another culture, one with a tradition that valued meditation. This was, of course, before Facebook and Twitter and laptops, tablets, cable TV, and, of course, Netflix. They took the time to focus on and reflect on events and God's Word in a way that our modern culture cannot even dream of. So I can't say that I fully understand all the healthy benefits of meditation, but it has many because it is God-designed. So I realize this is a lot to cover in 15 minutes, but I'd like to ask you the four questions. Number one, when should we meditate? Number two, where should we meditate? Number three, why should we meditate? And number four, how should we meditate? Now, I certainly don't have all the answers, nor do I consider myself an authority on the subject, but I can look to the Bible for many of the answers. So let's start with the first question, given to us by the ultimate authority, the Bible. Number one, when should we meditate? Well, if you'll turn to Joshua 1:8, Joshua 1:8 reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it," when? "Day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." So based on Scripture, we know that we are to think on the book or meditate on it day and night. In other words, continually. When we rise up, when we lie down, at mealtime, and all throughout the day in little bits and pieces. Meditation requires your mental concentration, your focus. And when you do this, you're honoring God. I would also reference Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Question number two. Where are we supposed to meditate? We live in a busy world, and it can be hard to find a location as much as time. So Psalm 4:4 reads, Psalm 4:4, "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still." If I had a dollar for every time my mother told me to be still, I'd be a rich man. It's something I'm still learning how to do. So in the privacy of our own homes is one option as listed here. I know I've spoken to a few of you about your favorite location. Some of you have mentioned your study, your bedroom. Others, the lake at Orr, Minnesota, or the ocean. Various locations. Sometimes you just have to use whatever space you have available at the time just to be practical. Has anybody in here ever seen Mel Gibson's movie with Julia Roberts, Conspiracy Theory? All right, a few of you. You probably wonder where I'm going with this, but it's a phrase that I remember him saying in the movie. At one point towards the end, he says, "I can't remember. I got to go where the music's playing." So he drove out to a horse farm away from all the distractions of the big city to the quiet solitude of a farm. And it was there that he remembered what he needed to. Now, I realize it's just a movie full of comedy and drama, but in real life, oftentimes physical locations conjure up emotions and memories, especially if you've spent a lot of time there in the past or your childhood, that can make us more calmer and more centered. You know, it's only in the absence of daily life that our mind becomes more active and self-aware. People seek to stimulate their mind through external stimulus, like entertainment, TV, and music. But it's been proven that external stimulus doesn't awaken the mind. It actually lessens the activity of your brain waves. Biblical meditation awakens your mind and helps you get on the same page with God. And I'm not talking about pseudo-psychology. I'm talking about just getting out of the daily grind and going where the music's playing. God's music, which I consider to be nature, quiet, solitude. So, for me, that location's always been the woods. High places, mountains, where I can gaze off in the distance or near any source of water. I'd ask, where was David meditating as a young man? Well, he was in the countryside because he was a shepherd. He was roaming around the pastures and rocks with the sheep, and he would have had plenty of solitude and time on his hands to reflect on God's ways. He laid a good foundation. Personally, I like to meditate anywhere I feel calm or inspired. One of my favorite Sabbath routines is to wake up, grab a cup of coffee, and sit on the back deck looking down into the trees, which is just a sea of green. According to research, blue and green are both very calming colors. It's probably a reason why people love, you know, beachfront, lakefront, riverfront properties are the most valuable, because blue is a very calming color. It's relaxing and therapeutic. You know, as a kid, we lived near a place called Bell Mountain. And as a teenager, I used to hike up on Friday nights before the sun goes down with a backpack and a Bible and a notebook and just sit there and read until all the stars came out, and then I go home. I've got a lot of fond memories there, and I kind of processed a lot of the week's events there. That was a way of meditation for me. Question number three, why should we meditate? Well, Psalm 119:23 reads, "Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees." So even in times of distress, David's answer is to stay close to God and consider his love, his laws, his precepts. You know, Eastern religions promote meditation as an avenue through which to empty the mind. But the biblical version of meditation calls for us to fill up our mind with God's Holy Spirit through the reading of his word. Now, there are plenty of reasons to meditate on God's word. I would say, number one, to stay close to God. Number two, to better understand a word or a passage in scripture. Number three, Psalm 4:4 reads, "To calm and quiet your fears or anxiety and build your trust and confidence in the Lord." King David did this. Build your faith that God will work out your problems on your behalf. This is what David did. He relied on God. Number four, transformation. For the renewing of your mind to better put on the mind of Christ. This is achieved in a greater degree through continual meditation. My last question would be number four, how to meditate. Well, there's lots of ways. I'm just sharing with you a few of my ideas. Number one, take time to read a verse or passage over and over, and maybe even begin to memorize all or part of it. Number two, listen. Quiet your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's word, while pushing out all other distractions. Number three, consider how it relates with the rest of the Bible and life in general. Number four, become emotionally involved in the scripture. Use your imagination. Put yourself in the setting with whatever you're reading about. For me, that means, you know, recently I gave a message on the repentant woman in Luke 7. I wasn't really getting it. I wasn't grasping the story. I didn't understand the magnitude of what was happening. So So I read it over and over. I thought there's got to be some pictures of this city, you know. So I looked up modern day pictures of the city, looked all over the countryside. I looked at where they'd been, where they were going. I looked at maps. And even though the landscape has changed a lot, it put a picture in my mind. And then I can see Christ with his disciples walking down the road and greeting the people with the funeral at the entrance of the city gates. If you do this, it really plays out before you in your mind like a movie. It's like watching a movie. And it builds memories and it builds emotion into the scripture. So I felt I had a greater understanding after meditating specifically on that chapter. I might also mention the importance of pure meditation after a study session. When I was younger, I used to sometimes listen to two sermons back to back. I might be cleaning the house or something. And I realized if I listen to two messages back to back, I can't really absorb the meaning of the first message. So I started pausing and just turning off all music and just letting it sink in for a half hour. We really can't continually cram information into our limited brains. We have to have time for reflection after learning. So if I can say, schedule in time to do nothing except sit and be still, as David said, and appreciate God's creation and meditate on his precepts. You know, the older we get, the more important it will become. Growing up, I watched my grandfather, my dad's dad. He was a really active man in construction his whole life. And in his 50s, he had a stroke. So he went from being very active to very inactive. And he lived out the remainder of his days mostly sitting on the back porch or the front porch, you know, watching the trees and the birds and the sunsets. And as a child, I thought that had to be really boring. But the older you get, the more you realize people that live full, productive, busy lives probably appreciate the respite, the rest that God gives, and the peace that can come from just sitting there meditating on his word. And if you're ever disabled, that's probably, or you grow old enough, that's all you're going to have time to do. You may even lose your eyesight. So it's a good practice to learn. I'm still learning myself. So the purpose of meditation is to internalize and personalize the scripture so that its truth can affect how we think, which in turn affects our attitudes, which affects the decisions we make, which affect our behavior, which in turn culminates the essence of your life. So I hope these four questions have been helpful. In closing, I will ask, what is the biblical result of continual daily meditation? And I'll close with a scripture, Romans 12:2. The end result in your life can best be described as such. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.